Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant. In a free and open society. Secret societies. Secret oaths. Secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong of the Devil, and you are going to be in for a treat tonight. We're going to be talking about Bible prophecy, of course. We have a special guest, Susan Polio, from the Prophetic News here on Blog Talk Radio. So let's enjoy it this night. Give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God in heaven, who has ordained each and every one to preach the prophetic word of Jesus Christ. I want to share with y'all today some scripture that is in the Word of God. And when I come on this show and I talk to y'all about God, the only true when people came up to Jesus and say, this man speaks with authority. Well, the only authority I have is from the Word of God. I don't get authority from nobody else. So, with that being said, this ministry is going to be channeled into speaking the Word of God. It's going to be preaching the Word of God, but prophetically speaking, it's going to be talking about Bible prophecy. But I'm also going to have women who want to talk to women about prayer, about finances, because I sure do need that one, about various subjects that will edify the church. At the same time, I'm going to have people on here that are not saved. I'm going to repeat myself. I'm going to have people on here that is not saved. For instance, I can be talking to an atheist. I can be talking to a senator. I can be talking to a person who knows about the mark of the beast. Chips. You say, how does that edify the church? It brings information to the church because the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's also distorted knowledge. So if you don't know that they're passing bills for more abortion, or they're passing bills so you got to go through an airport and get body scanned, or they're passing bills that those might not get on your nerves. But there are bills that are coming that says a church or organization cannot preach the word of God without somebody else having an opposing opinion on their radio show station. So if somebody comes on, I don't like what Reverend so-and-so says, so I want to oppose him, so I need a spot on your radio program. But, sir, we're a Christian radio station. No, I want a radio. You get my drift. He wants a radio program following the Christian radio program so he can rebuke it. That's in the law, folks. That is in the law. And a lot of Christians are not awake. Matter of fact, we're so busy listening to TBN and all these other programs that we have no idea what's going on. I'm going to play a clip for y'all, and then I'm going to read a piece of scripture. Listen to this.
I'm tired of spies, Pharisees, hypocrites, blocking God's preaching. And the harvest is perishing out there. And God's telling the body to come together. Let him sort out all this doctrinal doo-doo. I don't care.
I don't care about the doctrinal doo-doo. I don't care about doctrine. That's why you are the way you are. Wake up and smell the coffee. Or should I say, wake up and find Jesus before it's too late. Now, I'm not judging him, but I have the evidence here. I got a song. I'm going to play it for you.
I'm spies, Pharisees, hypocrites, blocking God's preaching. the harvest is perishing out there. And God's calling the body to come together. Let him sort out all this sucker and city. I don't care.
Now, am I judging this guy, Paul Cross? No. God is the ultimate judge. But I'm not going to use that one piece of scripture anyway. Just one. Well, let me read Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine? What comes after doctrine? Doo-doo? Or does reproof, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, enough of taunting. But the thing is, folks, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, give it, Paul Krause does not preach this every 5 seconds. See, that's the beauty of the thing for the devil. For the devil, it's the beauty because the devil slips in little bitty poisons once in a while. But it does not reveal the true heart, because watching TBN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you might catch something, but you're watching it so long, you're going to miss it. This little bitty tidbits of vocabulary will reveal what is in the man. So with that being said, I'm going to play one more scripture, and then I'm going to bring my guest on. Listen to this.
I am a little. Yes. Yes. I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship. I am a little.
Okay, let me play that one more time.
I am a little. Yes. Yes. I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship. I am a little.
For some reason, I didn't hear him say, I am a little God, but that's what he's saying. Let me play one more. I'll play Joyce Myers. Now, you might, I didn't hear him say God, but I'm going to actually get another one before I'll.
Yeah, I was listening to a text by one man, and he explained it like this, and I think this kind of gets the point across. He said, you know, why do people have such a fit about God calling his creation, his man, not his whole creation, but his man, little God? If he's God, what's he going to call him but the God kind? I mean, if you as a human being have a baby, you call it a human kind. If cattle has another cattle, they call it cattle kind. So, I mean, what's God supposed to call it? Doesn't the Bible say we're created in his image? Now, you understand, I'm not saying you are God with a capital G. That is not the issue here. So don't go trying to stone me or yell blasphemy at me. The Bible says right here, John 10:34. Let's read this again. Well, let's just start again at verse 32. Jesus said to them, my Father has enabled me to do many good deeds. I've shown many acts of mercy in your presence. For which of these do you mean to stone me? And the Jews replied, we're not going to stone you for a good act, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, make yourself out to be God.
I'm going to stop it there, which is great evidence that his Jesus' enemies was declaring that he was calling himself God. And you hear nothing bad about Jesus when you hear about college professors. They don't deny Jesus existed. Matter of fact, some of them call him a good teacher. So on the basis of that, he is God. Because in our society, being good today does not mean you are free of lying. I've heard a lot of people being called a good person, but you know that they lie a lot. But in Jesus' time, if you called good, you were basically, they were saying that the only person was good was God. And to say that we are, not changing the subject, to say that we are gods, and well, I'm not talking about gods with little g, I'm talking about, you know, oh, big G, I'm talking about we're gods with little g. Well, I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of people in the church today having problems with addictions. Now, if we're gods, I'm scared. I'm very scared. I'm going to go in the corner and suck my thumb because I'm very scared. Because if anybody calling me a god, I have a big problem with that one. Okay, I'm no God. Okay, I need God. See, that's the problem with the Laodicean churches. They're rich and they need of nothing. Now they're calling themselves God. So that's why they don't need the real God. Why would I need the real God if I'm the God? I don't need God. Do I? No, I don't need God. I'm a little G. I'm a G. I'm a gangster. I'm a little God. I mean, I don't need... Okay. Enough said about that. But this ministry is not to blast any of these big ministries, but it's to bring some... Because next week I'm going to be talking about something else. But it's to bring the focus out that a lot of people come in the chat room and they tell me what to do. You know, I'm just a little person. I'm not Alex Jones. I'm no... You know, and I'm not one of these big guys. I'm not Jack Van Impey. I'm just a little person for right now. And I don't really care. I'm going national, big deal. If I go on a radio program here in Spokane, you know, what happens to people who get big? That scares me. I mean, I'm complete opposite. I mean, I'm going on to WWCR. I'm scared. I truly have the Lord, but I see what it does to people when they get, you know, a little bit bigger and out there. They get the big head. You know, I mean, what good is it when you don't have true focus? You lose your focus. You start aiming for money. You start aiming for riches. Now, I want to have, you know, me and my wife. Eventually, you're going to get a house, a nice house, a big, you know, pretty nice size house. But, you know, all of that stuff is void without a true relationship with God. You know, and a lot of us struggle, and a lot of us need, you know, we need God to get to God. And we need God to continue with God. And we're in the process. We already been redeemed, sanctified. We're being taken from faith to faith and glory to glory. We're taken from one stage to the, hopefully we're growing, because if we become stagnant, that's a dangerous thing. But talking about he don't need doctrine, enough of this doctrinal doo-doo. We need doctrine. We need the word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And yes, there is this. I was watching White Swap, and I don't, that's an oxymoron. And sometimes I watch, you know, sometimes I catch it to see how bad families really are. But, and I ask God, is it? Well, anyway, that's beside the point. I was going to say, man, White Spot. That sounds kind of crazy for a Christian to be watching, but it's not really what you think. Well, anyway, one of the ladies was talking about, I guess they mixed a family. They mixed a family, a Christian family, with another Christian family. But one of the Christian family dude, the guy, the husband, was one of those, not even a Bible thumper, I wouldn't call him, because I consider myself a Bible thumper. He's what you call one of those theologians that overstudy. And she said, well, it's good to read your word, but if you don't have the basic foundation and then you overstudy, you're gonna lose the point of salvation. The point of salvation is that Jesus Christ is not only your Lord, your Savior, but he's your Lord. And he's with you daily. And he's your God. What he did on the cross for you, you're going to heaven. But it's a daily life. It's a come out of Egypt type of life. And if we lose the basics of Christianity, we're in trouble, folks. I don't care if anybody comes to the chat room and says, you know, you're doing it the wrong way. Your guest is doing it. You know what? I'm ignoring most of the people who come in the chat room that's going to come in and try to correct me in the wrong way. Because there are people who just go from chat room to chat room and want to correct people from subject to subject. They're correcting it. And that's fine, folks. I don't mind that. I was listening to Alex Jones. I'm bringing on my guest, my wonderful guest. She's an awesome lady in the Lord. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. The Catholic, she's doing a show. I don't really want to talk about a show that she's doing in a couple of days, but I would love to get a sneak preview of what she's going to talk about. And Like I said, we're not here to bash anybody. Me and her, if you listen to our last show, we really care that these people get saved. I believe a right, effective person who was in the faith movement, one of the big kahunas, drop out of it, will be a revolution by itself. Creflo Dollar, one of those dudes, get out of it, it'll be a revolution by itself. A lot of these guys preach. If you listen to Charles Stanley, like, I'm not a once saved person, but I do believe that God knows who was eventually saved. And I think for that once they've always saved, it's up to God. He knows everything. I can't walk up to somebody and say, well, you were always going to be saved, and walk up to another person, you're going to lose your salvation. I believe God knows, because he said, my Father give me these people, and I will not lose them. Now, God knows who he's not going to lose, because God knows the Alpha and Omega. He knows the beginning and the end. I don't. But see, the reason why God wrote that he would never lose any of us, it's because of, for us, for the true believers, to know that, for security, to know that God is going to finish Philippians 1:6. He's going to finish, folks. He's going to finish. He's going to finish the work that he laid in me. And that's an awesome thing. Okay, but we are not here to say that we have to warn the church body. Okay, we have to warn the church body. If you're going over a cliff and you see your buddy going over a cliff, or somebody in your family going over a cliff, should I stop you? Should you stop your family? Should the family stop the other family? I mean, you don't want nobody going over a cliff. And if you see somebody over smoking, if you see somebody overeating, if you see some, especially my wife would come up to me and say, you're eating too much chicken. Enough of the wings. Oh, honey, I cannot do that because you're judging me. Well, you judging me for judging you for judging. No, I'm just joking. Judging over a piece of chicken. But God is good, man. God has given us, me and Susan, the chance to be able to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people on Blog Talk Radio are able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing, folks. Look, if Jesus comes back in 2015 for his church, or 2020, we want to be ready. If he comes back this year, next year, or 100 years from here, we want to be ready for his coming. I'm not going to make any more predictions and on this thing, on this ministry or any other ministry. But I'm going to tell you this, it's close. I was watching a show from 1990, and it blew my mind it seemed like yesterday. Because my father, my auntie, blessing my father, passed away in 1991. And it just seems like yesterday. And my nephew just graduated from college. I was looking at some pictures. Me and my wife looking at some pictures of him right now. And a good-looking boy, good-looking young man. I'm very proud of him. It's just like yesterday. I was holding him in 1987, just like yesterday. So to say, Jesus is not ready to come back yet because there has to be a Middle East peace deal, plus the mark of the beast technology must revolve around, you know, the planet 55 times and making up all this stuff. But if all that stuff has to happen, you know, the fall of the Jamaican Wall, you know, making up stuff, or the 15th earthquake. Well, if all that stuff has to happen, 5 years goes pretty darn fast, let alone 10 years. Those darn, this decade that we just had, it was so fast that people forgot to celebrate the new decade coming in and the old decade leaving. I don't remember. At the last minute? Well, anyway, let me bring my guest on. There's something weird about my all of my, every single one of my files is gone. That is weird. Actually, they're not, they're there, but I can't get to them. Isn't that marvelous? So I won't be having no commercials tonight, folks, unless this thing clicks over. And y'all, most of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, I'm going to bring on Susan. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? I was enjoying that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm ready to get started. I have no commercials, so we have to be long-winded on this one.
Yeah. Well, I think we can manage that.
Okay.
I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know why.
Oh, let me – well, I can't. I don't think – well, I turned down my microphone. Maybe it has something to do with my microphone. But, yeah, so how's your week been going?
Yeah, it's been going okay, yeah. It's been we've been having some cold weather over here in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Global warming.
Yeah. I mean, it's not – we don't have snow or ice or anything like that, but –
oh, okay.
But it's been a strange winter.
Yes, it has. It has. It's been very strange.
Yeah.
But let's talk about where we left off, because I was trying to get a little feedback from you about the prophecy before we go ahead and go on to other things. But finish telling me what you were trying to tell me about the prophecies that you were discussing on your last one of your last shows.
Which prophecy was that?
Well, any, just talk about your last show on Bible prophecy.
I know you were talking about a few things that you were talking about, like going through the airport and going through the body scan, and now also they just put out something this week. I don't know if you heard about, they want to swab your hands now.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. So it's like, who wants to fly? I don't even want to get on an airplane anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's like a beating.
Yeah. You have to take your shoes off, then they take your clothes off, and then they're going to swab your hands. Next, they're going to want your DNA.
Yeah, exactly. They're already leaning towards that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that as long as they don't make me take my socks off and stuff, I really probably just start crying. Grown man cries in the airport.
I'm like... Well, I used to fly a lot. I took over 30 missionary trips overseas. So I did a lot of flying, and that was back in the 90s. And I remember the first time I saw a soldier carrying a rifle in an airport in Austria. And I was shocked because we never saw anything like that in this country. You walk into an airport and you see soldiers carrying rifles. And but in England, they started body searching people and things like that. And I didn't really think it would come to this country, but I noticed that so many of the things that I saw over in Europe, the Lord was showing me that eventually we will see the same things there, the socialism, the socialized medicine, the high taxes. They actually in England have to pay a tax to own a television set.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You have to have a license to actually own a TV set. And they tax everything. Now there's even a 20% VAT tax. It's a VAT, which anything you buy is they add a 20% tax.
Yeah, now they already had the socialist taste of the future. Now we're getting our bargain of the part by having a socialistic Marxist. I'm gonna say fully Marxist yet, but doggone close to it.
Yeah, we're on our way. We're on our way because now I had some insight into the whole medicine thing there, visiting England and knowing people that had to go to the hospital. This was a story I think you'll find amusing that I heard last night. The Prime Minister of Canada needs heart surgery, so he's not going to get it in his country. He's coming over here.
Wow. Wow. Okay, the money.
Yeah, he said he can't wait. You know, they make them wait. Sometimes you have to wait up to 2 years. I know people in England, they'd have to wait up to 2 years if they needed an operation, unless they could afford to pay for it, because you could still pay for doctors if you had money, if you didn't want to do the socialized medicine. But a friend of mine, when I went over to England one time, she was in the hospital, and I went to visit her, and she was in a ward with about 12 other people, and it was men and women in the same room.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, how would you like that? Men and women in the same hospital room, all sharing a big ward, and using the same bathroom. I mean, it was awful.
Wow.
It was awful. Yes. It was degrading. It's just degrading.
Yeah.
And so trust me, people, if you're listening out there, you don't want socialized medicine at all.
That's the new bargaining chips we have these days. But as far as the president, we express the word of God tells us to pray for our leaders. But when people live in the dark, and we don't really want to see, we just want to live in our fence yard and our nice car house and 2-car garage. And they look at us as gloom and doomers, and they look at us to leave, you know, the Benny Hinn's and Paul Crouch's of the world alone. And that's what I actually do. But I like to bring out the true light and let everybody know that these things are important, because the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Oh, absolutely.
Distorted knowledge is when you can let somebody come on TV and say that we're little gods, or say that, you know, God wants you rich. Hey, I mean, right now I'm in the process, me and my wife is in the process of doing a lot of things with our finances, and we're getting a lot smarter. And so I don't bash them for this. I mean, heck, I pray to God, bless me, yeah.
Yeah, bless me, yeah.
Yeah, so pay your tithes and your offerings and do what you're supposed to do. But at the same time, God, I don't remember in the Word of God that said that Jesus drove a Rolls Royce. I just don't see it. So, I mean,
well, I agree. You know, the Bible says we have to pray for our president. There's not too much we can do about the worldly system, because of Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled. So we're seeing the fulfillment. So what matters most to me is what's happening in the church, because that affects me.
Yep.
That
uh-huh.
affects people's eternal destiny.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's very important to expose these people, to boycott these ministries, to have a shout out. I mean, if you happen to be at a Mike Murdoch meeting or a Benny Hinn meeting and they start this manipulation with the money, have a shout out.
Yeah.
That's not true. Stand up and say, that's not true.
Yeah. Of course, you might get pounded like that one senator that stood up and
wrote. Yeah. But I like the boldness, because I think that we have to be that bold that when that was bold for him to say you lie, because we have to do that with these people and mark them. The Bible says to mark them. I have the scripture here. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Yes.
So the Bible says to mark them. The Bible says to expose them. And I pray, yeah, I pray some of them stop. Like you said, if we had one of them that comes out of this movement and stands up for the truth, then wow, that would be wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Because all you see, there's on my satellite system, there's probably five or six different Christian television networks. We have God TV, Wendy and Rory Alec, who were originally from United Kingdom, started over there. And then we have the Inspiration Network, which is Morris and David Cirillo. And then you have TBN. Well, they have two channels now. They not only have TBN, but they have a church channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have TCT, Total Christian Network, and every single Daystar, and then there's the Daystar Network, Joni and Marcus Lamb. Every single one of them, every single one have pimped out the gospel. Every single one.
Wow.
Every single one.
Yes. And that's the delusion of today, because if you hear something enough, if you see something enough, you're going to start believing it. And I don't know if I'm going off track here, but Adolf Hitler, one of Adolf Hitler's, he was in charge of propaganda ministers, and he said, if you say things often enough,
people
believe it. Now, in this case, if you see all these channels often enough, and they are preaching the same thing, you're going to start thinking the gospel, that's the gospel. And
exactly.
And people, and then when people like, David Jeremiah come on TV talking the truth, you're going to just like, you're already numb, so you're not going to get that. It was Aaron Rodgers, the true ministers come on TV.
Yeah.
I'm just using TV because it's one of the most, prolific vehicles for the gospel. But if you see these true guys come on, or Charles Stanley, or somebody's going to tell you right away that, hey, you're in the head, even Jack Van Impe, heck. I mean, you're going to say, wow, well, your brain is going to go, and it's going to go right past. You're not going to be able to tell that they were the wrong ones and these are the right ones.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to tell because there's so much out there. It's like, having tennis shoes that later on studies find out that they hurt your shoes.
Yeah.
Hurt your feet. So you should have been wearing these.
Yeah.
It should be too late.
Because you turn that stuff off. You don't want because the truth, it's not tasty. It's not, they don't want the meat of the Word of God. They only they want the nice parts.
Itching ears, yeah.
Yeah, itching ears. And, see, there's another scripture that I have here in Matthew 24.
Okay.
And verse 5, it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Yeah.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Yeah.
And we see that. We see that. And I thought so much after I took myself out of public ministry. that, you know, people were so offended by the truth.
Yeah.
And they want that whole thing. They want easy money. They want, if I give $1,000 and God's going to save my family. And they're all doing it. And the worst thing I saw this week that really upset me was when I saw Jim Baker. I felt so bad for Jim Baker for all the things that happened to him at PTL, the devastation, winding up in prison.
Yeah.
Horrible. And, I mean, God allowed him to go. God allowed it to happen. And when he came out, the first sermon he preached, he came over to Lakeland, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I got a copy of the tape, and, man, he was letting those prosperity preachers have it. He was on fire for God. And it didn't take long, and then he just turned. And he was on a telethon this week, and he was telling people to send $111 and to put their prayer request along with their seed, what they were believing God for, with the money. I said, oh my God, Jim. I mean, you know, God allowed him to go to prison.
Yeah.
God allowed him to go to prison to wake him up, and now he's back sleeping again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he fell right back into it. I said, oh, my God. You know, because God lets us go through things. God will bring us down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he will allow us to be stripped. And because he wants to get our attention. And like you were saying, you know, about going on a bigger radio and how it does scare you. About,
yeah.
Yeah. Those things should scare us.
Yeah.
They should scare us. But you see, what happens to these people is they start realizing that they have the power to manipulate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And God set them at a crossroad at their ministry. I was there. I know that the Lord showed me that here you could go this way and you can have fame and fortune, or you can go this way. Now, what do you want? Well, it was more important to me to have the truth of the gospel, to be a voice crying in the wilderness, and God's given us a voice. So it's more important to stand up for the truth. That's more important than fame and fortune, and then having to pimp yourself out to pay your debts.
Yes, indeed. Well, Jesus was taken up, led up by the Holy Spirit up to the mountain to be tempted. And if the King of the universe, the God of all, the creator of everything, could be tempted into these things, then Satan has offered these guys the universe, and he can give it to you. He can make you famous. Now,
yeah.
I don't think there's any particular time where, you know, Benny Hinn is sitting in a room and in a bright light, because the Bible does say that Satan comes as the angel of light. You know, I'm just joking when I say this, but, you know, I don't think he made that type of deal, but he comes as God himself. So, you know, Satan comes as God and says to, you know, these guys, you know, this is the new doctrine. You know, it comes in a doctrinal form.
Yeah.
And when he was talking about, we don't care about this doctrinal doo-doo, you know, I, that says everything about everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That sums everything up.
Yeah, because the Bible says doctrine's important. So where did they get that from, that doctrine's not important? Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says doctrine is important.
Yeah.
And we have to read the Word of God. We have to base everything that we're doing on the Word of God. Otherwise, yeah, we're in trouble. And, yeah, we're in trouble. The church is in trouble. I never saw such a mess.
Let me play this again if I can actually find it. Jeez. Okay, let me play this again.
I'm tired. of prosperity, hypocrites, blocking God's preaching, when the harvest is perishing out there, and God's calling the party to come together, let him sort out all this doctrine of doo-doo. I don't care.
Doctrine of doo-doo, wow. That like I say, sister, that just about sums it up. I got my commercials all back. Let me take a break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does. And
warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Status habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. I want to touch on something right quick about what we were talking about earlier. It's important that we get our priorities straight. And what I said when the show first came on is that we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know for his church. We definitely don't know. It can be this year. It can be 2012, it can be 2015, it can be 2020. But what I was saying is that time goes very fast. And my nephew is 23 years old. I remember walking out, I don't know where I was going, but I was walking out the house and he says, "See you later, uncle." And he was just one. I mean, he was just that smart. And yeah. Now we're looking at pictures of him. Yesterday, he looked like Malcolm X or something. he's a tall dude, very tall dude, and he's a Christian though.
Uh-huh.
But he's a good-looking boy. And I was like, wow, time flies. So when we try to share the message that Jesus is coming back soon, or we try to share the message that hey, we are living in a place in a position in time where God prophesied that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons.
Yeah.
This stuff comes from the New Age movement.
Yeah.
This stuff is originating from writers from long ago and just currently and in between that is a poison. It's poisoning the true gospel. The true gospel is a simple gospel, but with the issues of life, God he takes care of those issues of life. It's not saying you're not going to have a hard life, but easy life. But God, he's with us. And what he said to Joshua, he says, "I'll be with you. Be strong, and the Lord, I will be with you." And yeah. That's the message out today. Is that there is a simple gospel that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, but he's our Lord, and we live for him daily. He has saved us from our sins. He, when God the Father looks down, he sees righteous people. If we were a different color, let's just say we were spiritually, he can see blue. And we'd be blue people, all full of the Holy Ghost. I'm just making an analogy. But he looks down and he sees people are red. Let's just say red, Jesus' blood, justified by what he did on the cross.
Yeah.
But Jesus is alive. He is no longer on the cross. He is alive.
Yeah.
And he is sitting up at the right hand of the Father, ready for his Father to say, "Go get your bride." And when that happens, folks, he is coming back for a church without spot or blemish. But here's the deal. Is he coming back for a perfect person? We're not perfect. But see, the heart is going to manifest what's inside of the heart. So if you like, I tell my wife and I tell my kids and I tell my friends this, whatever you like or whatever you love is going to manifest out of you. So what I mean by that is if your son joins the baseball team, all he wants to talk about is the baseball team. That is a sign that he likes baseball. My daughter just got to be playing basketball. Whatever you, she's talking about basketball. If I started to lose weight and I joined Weight Watchers, guess what I'm going to talk about?
Yeah.
Weight Watchers. If I want to watch the Super Bowl, yeah, I think the Saints are going to win. No, I think the Colts are going to win. That's what's in your heart. Now, a Christian should manifest often what's in his heart.
Yeah.
And that should be Jesus Christ. There's no way around that, folks. So when the trumpet sounds and he says to your name, Philip, come forth, or Susan, come forth, he's coming back for a church that loved him with all their heart, mind, and soul, and he is going to perfect us until that time comes. And trust me, for us, me and Susan or whoever is Christians who are looking for Christ, it might go a lot slower to us than it's going to go for you. Because if you're out there, let's say somebody else who listens to these archives, if you're out there and you're just sort of stuck in the times and you're not looking for anything, you're just stuck in the time, you're going from holiday to holiday, you're going from bill to bill, you're going from school to semester, time will fly for you. Than it will for the person who's actually looking for Christ, because it's going to slow down for us unless less things happen in the world to speed it up. But for you, you're not paying attention to this stuff, so time is flying by. So when the time comes, it's going to catch you by surprise. And you're going to like, what in the world is going on? Oh, my God. My cousin Phil, my sister-in-law Susan tried to tell me these things. Now what? I mean, what's going on here? And then when you least expect it, boom, church is gone. What happened?
Yeah.
You know, the true church. Now, why is Benny Hinn still walking around? I mean, you're not going to know because, and I heard one of your shows, it's a lie. The Bible says that that God should send them a strong delusion. Which I enjoyed your show, which it probably will be demonic influence to saying, "Oh, that was spaceships," you know. And there is no such thing as it. Whatever we're doing here on Earth, we get used to it because we're probably not going up to the moon for a while.
Right.
We might just want to relax here. But anyway, you're the guest. I think I started ranting.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoy your preaching, your teaching very much. I mean, we're like-minded. You know, the thing is, see, the world is looking at the church. For the most part, the only church that they see is the church on TV.
Yeah.
So this is the opinion that they're getting That's why I'm so fervent about this issue, about this whole pimping the gospel and this whole buying miracles and bringing a reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ after the awesome price that he paid for us. And to see that there's a lost and dying world out there. And they're flipping through the channels and they see these people talking about send me money, and I have a Rolex watch, and I have a $16,000 dog, and I have a $20 million jet, and that's all they're talking about. And occasionally they throw in a salvation message. Okay, people can still get saved. They still get saved watching some of these programs, but just think of the influence, just what's going through their mind that they're seeing that here's a church that's spending $50 million on a building, and yet there's people inside the building that their houses are being foreclosed on, they can't feed their families, and like, what's happening? You know, it's become so perverted. We've lost our first love.
Yeah, we gotta buy the big building. God's gotta have a nice house for us to all congregate in. I mean, when Jesus was here, he said, "Master, can we come see where you stay? Yeah, come with me." I wonder where he said, "Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head."
Yeah.
And the temple of God coming down in Revelations is like 1,500. I don't know, is cute miles or feet? That's my ignorance, but. It's beautiful coming. The New Jerusalem's coming down, and God don't need anybody to build that for him. He's saving that one for a little.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I remember Phil when I was at a place called Christian Retreat. It's in Bradenton, Florida. Mike Murdoch came one morning to the church, and this was back probably 1995 or so. And he came with the $58 blessing. And he was telling people that if you give $58 this morning and in 30 days, you're going to get a big blessing from God. And write down on your check what you're believing God for. Are you believing for a husband? Are you believing for a healing? I was furious. I sat there and I was just like, I'm sorry now I didn't stand up, because I was saying it under my breath. And I'm thinking, I wish I would have been bold enough to stand up and say, that's a lie. And that's not true. But yet, you know, he raised $10,000 that morning, and the pastor was so proud. I remember my pastor was so proud that he gave Mike Murdoch $10,000. Meanwhile, there was somebody, a family there that worked at the church, and they did not have a telephone. They could not afford a telephone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on here? It started to really trouble me. And I said, you know, Lord, if there's something I can do, I want to be a voice for change.
Yeah, exactly. You know? The real change.
The real
change you can believe in.
The real change, you know. So.
Yeah, the Laodicean church was rich and they needed nothing. I don't even think, I'm pretty sure he's talking about money, but he's also talking about spiritual.
Yeah, because, spiritual.
When I'm around an alcoholic or a drug addict, believe it or not, I talk to them on the bus and they come out and they say, and it's not like tomorrow they're going to get saved or nothing like that, but they understand that I need a savior. You know, sooner or later I'm going to turn. And then you get to somebody who is like religious, and then they'll be like, they don't understand when I tell them. And I didn't really understand for a while, so I don't judge them or nothing. But if you're saved, I kind of like using analogies. It's like being if you're a high school student, and you set out in the parking lot, pretty soon they're going to kick you out. And I'm not saying being saved is works, But it is a heart thing where your heart is in it to seek the Lord and to be saved. And your conversation, a true Christian's conversation, should be God. Now, I could talk about football. I could talk about business. I'm starting a little business right now. I can talk about all kinds of stuff. But when it boils down to it, if I'm sitting next to somebody on the bus, I'm looking for the opportunity. If I'm sitting next to somebody in class, I don't know why I keep saying bus. I got a car. But I used to ride the bus. But if I'm sitting next to somebody in school, now I have went kind of what they call it since I've had this radio show. I have went to what you call a stagnant person-to-person relationship with people at school. So I admit, I will look at myself in the mirror first. So I have woke up and smelled the coffee, so now I am officially, you know, talking to people again. But my joy is one-on-one.
Yeah.
I love
and that doesn't
one-on-one.
Cost any money. I mean, you don't need $1 million budget.
Yeah.
Everything's become so perverted that people believe that, oh, we have to have all this money to preach the gospel. It's expensive to preach the gospel. And one-on-one, that's how I got saved. And that's free. So, we'd rather send the money to Benny Hinn. Let him preach the gospel because he has the anointing. Or let's send the money to TBN. Let them preach the gospel because they have the anointing. So, meanwhile, the church is sitting in the pew, and they're not doing the work that they're supposed to do, is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We're all required to do that. We don't have any special people that do it. Everybody's supposed to do it.
Don't forget they got the angel satellite. That's why they call it angel.
Oh, yeah. they got this, and they got that. It's like the same thing with the giving. You go to church and they brainwash you and manipulate you to believe that you have to give your money here because this is where you're being fed and this is the storehouse. And meanwhile, you can't ever have a thought, like you can't ever hear from the Holy Spirit for yourself about where to give your money because you have to give it to the pastor because it's his vision and you have to follow his vision. And then meanwhile, somebody sitting next to you doesn't have grocery money, but you know you can't allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you about giving them the tithe money because you have to give it to the church. So it's become this whole brainwashing manipulation thing, and people don't read their Bibles for themselves, and they don't hear from God about what to do, and they like it that way, though. You know, the Bible talks about that. My people love to have it so.
Yes, indeed. That's the truth. I mean, I've been in the Army. I've been around, and a lot of that is true. A lot of people want to live in limbo about the things of God. And they really kind of want to ignore it and just do the continual familiar thing. If you're familiar with going to church, because when I was going to church when I was younger, it was sort of a ritual thing. But I had a good time at church, but it was still ritual, you know. And now I have an understanding, a beautiful grasp of what's going on. And what scares the heck out of me, and this might offend some people, but had I died in those times, I don't even want to think about it. I mean, and people don't want to. I think everybody should sit down and get do a study on what Jesus said about heaven and hell. Do a study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and when you're done with that, do a study on what the apostles said about heaven and hell, and you want to get that right because it blows my mind nowadays to think that is it eternal? We were eternal beings when we came out of our mom.
Yeah,
you know, we are eternal, and the thing is that if you go to hell. And it's too easy for people to think that this is just easy. You're too simple, But hell is eternal. It's not the rich ruler. Jesus spoke about that 2,000 years ago. He spoke about it, which Abraham was already in paradise. Jesus is speaking about something that may have happened even a couple more hundreds of thousand years before that, and the rich ruler is still in hell. And that's sad.
Yeah.
That is a sad, and we have a lot of rich rulers sitting in the churches today.
Yeah, we do.
And if I'm not, and the thing is, when I'm preaching and when Susan's preaching and when we're talking to you, our chief aim, one of our chief aims is to preach the gospel, and another chief aim is to live our life pleasing to God. So
yes.
I can come out and tell you this, because I'm going to tell you right now, even though me and Susan is talking to a few of y'all, that doesn't mean that the enemy is he's ticked off. Just by, now, it might not be Satan himself, but I'm pretty sure he's going to send one of his monsters to us a little bit more than he will send to the average stagnant person. Now, he's still effective in many families across the world, across the United States, definitely. And his chief aim, everybody's important. And people probably say, well, not everybody. You mean the drunk is important? Well, everybody's important because Satan does not want you going. First of all, he would rather for you to go to a church that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
It's going to tell you that we are Christ or, you
yeah,
know.
Doctrine doo-doo.
Yeah,
tell you that doctrine doo-doo. Well, the reason, and yeah, the reason he said that is because you can't question the way they do their fundraising. That was the whole thing about that.
Yes, and he's probably talking about Hank down there in California.
Yeah, don't talk about the way we raise funds.
Yeah.
That's why they don't want you to question anything. Yeah, yeah. The devil has been able to get a stronghold on Christian television.
Yeah,
he's been able to get a stronghold, and it has been very effective to change the minds and hearts of God's people and turn them into selfish children. Yes.
Oh yes,
very
indeed.
Effective.
And society has already turned everybody into. You watch a talk show, and they serve its purpose, probably more than the lies that we hear on TVN. But it serves its purpose. But at the same time, here's when you see society is a me society.
Yeah.
And when you get me society, the danger is the Bible says a house divided against itself will not stand.
Right.
So that means eventually the me society is going to turn into a we society, but it's going to be fragmented into groups. And when you get that, Satan loves that. And he's already have the messed up pie filled with all kinds of different types of food. Pretty soon it's nasty. So he's already got the gospel messed up. But Jesus said one good, awesome thing. He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail
That's
against
right.
it. So he meant that there will be an individual remnant
That's
ready
right.
to go when the trumpet sounds. And that's why a lot of people want to believe that, oh, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back secretly for a church. Well, I'm going to tell you this. He's going to divide the wheat from the tares, whether you like it or not. And at your time or in the middle of the tribulation period or my time pre, he's going to do it, you know, and he's going to do it quickly. And he says, my reward is with me. So, I mean, that's the thing is that a lot of people are living in people talk bad about the Church of Philadelphia. And now what I mean by that is Jesus is saying – these people, to me, as I look at the Church of Philadelphia, these people are dependent on Jesus for their strength.
Yeah, yeah.
For their direction.
Yeah.
For everything, and they are not dependent on money.
Right.
Now, like what I said earlier, even the Bible said that money solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, that's
but
what the Bible says. Yeah.
Yes. it also gives you a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah, it can give you a lot of problems. Especially if people know you have it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. And that's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Because you want that righteousness inside of you that you can go forth and proclaim the gospel. And not only that, you can come closer to God. Because some people say, well, that's all you're going to want me to get saved for, so I can proclaim the gospel. Well, you know what? I'm at so much peace right now with my life.
Yeah.
I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
And I catch myself automatically rejoicing in the Lord.
Yes.
I wonder, why is it so hard for me to rejoice in the Lord? So now I'm rejoicing in the Lord without any, I'm just saying, praising the Lord. I'm thanking God for the simple utensils of life.
That's
not
right.
That me and my wife are going to go get a new house, but I no longer wake up and smell the roses because I'm going to get a new house. I wake up and smell the roses because I can breathe. I have the God of the universe in charge of my every heartbeat.
That's right.
And he is directing my path. That's why I wake up and smell the roses.
Yes, amen.
And
amen.
God has ordained my wife to be with me, to be my wife at this appointed time. And I'm loving what God is doing with me. Every time I get in the radio, every time I get in the car, there's a radio message on. Every time I go somewhere, there's something there where God is teaching me. He doesn't come down and say, Phil, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. God is doing that anyway through the Holy Spirit. I can
That's
hear
right.
him talking to me saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. And he's even saying to me when he said, walk softly as you blast these guys, because these guys need blasting. But he's saying to me, watch your back, you know, fellowship and get around the brothers and sisters, get into the army in the camp of the Lord so you can have a strong base of prayer.
Yes.
And then you go forth and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and talk. And me and Susan, we can talk about a lot more, but this is important to us because this is important to God. Because if y'all think that this is the true gospel, that we are gods or singing music or let's have a praise-a-thon, then that's fine. That's fine and dandy. Let's praise the Lord. You know, that's a great thing. But a lot of people are looking for churches for the wrong reason. Well, do they have good music?
Yeah.
Do they have care?
Yeah.
Do they have, well, how's the preacher? What kind of preaching does he do? Is it Pentecostal? Is it, you know, all of this stuff. And that's fine and dandy, but the simplicity of Christ has to stand for.
Yeah. That was how it was when I first got saved back in 1981. The gospel was simple at that time. And
yeah.
It was really before the Word of Faith message was real popular and before they started all this seed sowing stuff and all this and, you know, give God $10 and then he'll give you $100. The thing is, we don't give money to God because God doesn't need any money. We give money to each other. And that's the whole purpose of giving is to bless somebody else. We don't give God money. He doesn't need money. And then things started to change. And now we see this incredible selfishness where everything is based on giving money to a ministry to get God to do something for you.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works. We know that. We know that we can rest and we can have that joy because we know that God is our Father and he's going to take care of us. And as we seek first the kingdom and we're a voice, we have this voice, this tremendous voice that God's been given us over the internet to reach the world. And we don't have to compromise our message. Right now, we have the freedom to speak out, and isn't it wonderful?
Yes, indeed.
It wonderful?
Yes, it is, and it's a blessing from God that his word does not return back void.
It doesn't.
Tell somebody 10 years ago, I actually let me go back when I was in the Army the first time, and I was a young high roller. You know, I wanted to go out and drink and vodka and whatever you wanted to call it, and you know, miserable life.
Yeah.
I remember the one a brother named Thurman. I don't know what's his first name, but he was a sergeant in the Army, and he was trying to witness to me.
Yeah.
And they had a few people around the unit was witnessing, and then they had this church called New Testament Church kept coming to my dormitory, you know, finding me, and I would hide from them, and then when they come to my door, I would make up all kinds of excuses. But to my avail, 15 years later, I'm doing the same thing, coming to people's house, trying to get to the kind of church. So God works in mysterious ways, and I'm praising God that this brother came to talk to me about Jesus. And I wouldn't be saved now, but I'm pretty sure that seed that he sown.
Well, there's the real seed. There's the real seed is the word of God, is the seed. It's the incorruptible seed that was planted in your heart, and it bore fruit. It's not talking about money. There's no seed, money seed. That's not in the Bible.
You got to touch the screen.
Yeah, and I'll send you my green prayer cloth or my water. It's awful. It's just awful. It's disgusting. And when I decided, I said, you know, Lord, I need to know. I'm going to take the time. I need to know every scripture about giving, every scripture about tithing, every scripture about free will offerings. Well, I came to find out that in the Old Testament, they took up free will offerings, and it was money. That's when it was money. The tithing was always food. It was food. It had nothing to do with money. And so I found out, I said, wow, all these teachers that they were teaching, what they were teaching isn't true. And yet they get up there and they have these multi-million-dollar ministries, and they don't read the Bible. They're not reading it.
Like T.D. Jakes, Jesus is the merchandise. Jesus, did you read Peter? Jesus is the merchandise. And they should make merchandise of you.
Yeah, they should make. Yeah. And that's exactly what they're doing, is they're making
like
merchandise of you.
Yeah, it's like he's taunting God or something. I don't get it. I mean, you know, the scriptures probably better than I do. I don't understand where these guys slip off the bandwagon so quick. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean,
well, it's the temptation of, like I said, all of us have a crossroads in our life, especially people that are in the public. Especially if you're on television and you're out there and people are seeing you. You come to a crossroads and you see that people are looking up to you, and they start putting you up there on this pedestal, and you start liking the attention, and that temptation comes where, okay, am I going to allow people to put me up there, or am I going to take myself down and just be Susan or just be Phil?
Exactly.
And am I not going to manipulate people for money to build a ministry and to make debts and then to get other people to pay my debts?
No.
Or am I going to do this thing honestly, even if I have to go to work at a McDonald's or a Kmart or whatever? Am I going to do this thing honestly? And so when God presents that to them, no, they're not going to do it God's way. They're just not going to do it. They sell out, and they allow themselves to be worshipped, and they put a title in front of their name, and they just won't be themselves. I thought it was so funny. A few months ago, I visited this local church, and then the pastor was an electrician, so I called him. And when I called him by his first name. I called him John. And I said, oh, you know, John, and I need some electrical work done at my house, so would you come? Well, he never called me back, and the Holy Spirit told me it was because you called him John instead of Pastor John. Uh-oh. And I'm like, you know, how weird can you get?
Yeah.
But I'm not, I've come to that place in my life where I'm not going to call a person by their title unless, okay, if they're a doctor, that's fine, they're a doctor. But if they went and they bought a title like most of these people do, Dr. Creflo Dollar, Dr. Kenneth Copeland, Dr. Oral Roberts, they didn't earn the doctorate. They were, you know, it was honorary, or they bought it.
Yeah. The Bible says that they like the praises of men more than the praises of God. So
yeah.
they're in the business of tricking men into praising them. If, I mean, if you really want to be a true preacher of the Word of God, stay normal. You know.
Yeah, just stay normal. Stay normal.
Yeah, I had somebody say to me, and I'll tell you in a heartbeat, if you listen to some of my past shows, I say, man, I stutter a lot. And like this show, I'm stuttering a lot less than I have actually stuttered in the past. And the individual was saying, well, I said, well, you should start a ministry. And he's like, well, it's like he's pointing to me. He's like, well, when I listen to more seasonal preachers or radio guys, I'll do it. I'm like, dude, check this out, man. In Matthew 25, it talks about talents. Remind me of the person who goes and hides their talents just because you're looking for the opportunity to do this or that. You don't wait for an opportunity. I mean, of course you do wait on the Lord, but evidently where you are, you can go down to your local mall and hand out tracts. Whatever you're doing, when you're waiting on God to do something, you need to be doing something.
That's right.
I mean, we're not saved by works. We're saved by, you know, we're saved by grace.
That's right.
However, that grace, if I love my wife, it's going to manifest. If I love my kids, it's going to manifest. You know, I'm not going to leave my kid stranded where he can't go to school. I'm taking him to school. I mean, I'm going to feed him. I'm going to give him, if you're hungry, I'm going to take you to get some meat. It's going to manifest outwardly. You know, if I love my wife, I'm going to come and give her, you know, a present, birthday present, you know, Christmas present, whatever. But it's going to manifest, you know. If you don't care, I know a lot of guys don't care about, you know, these things, basic things.
Well,
and
you see what's happened to Benny Hinn. His wife is divorcing him.
Yeah, she's probably like, maybe she got saved.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. But, she, I mean, the thing is, she actually went down and filed the papers. She did it. And they've been married for 30 years.
Wow.
So, and they have 4 children. So the thing is, yeah, she was sick of him.
Yeah.
For her to go down there to the courthouse and file the papers.
Wow.
I mean, that took a lot. That took a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I think it's terrible. I think, you know, any divorce is horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible for the children and the whole situation. But, I mean, it took a lot of courage for her to do that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that when I'm not going to harp on this too much. I'm going to stay out of this one. But a lot of this, I keep hearing the word homosexual pop up. I don't want to talk about it after this, but I would stay out of this one. But I keep hearing that word for a lot of dudes out there, a lot of preachers out there, and that's a touchy subject. But if your wife catches you doing something with a woman, how much more with a man and where it's your husband? So that kind of stuff, and I'm not talking about Benny Hinn, I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm just saying that if you come home and that happens and you find that's going to give you reason to leave somebody. And like I say, I'm not speculating about this, but it's a big thing in the society today that we live in, and we got to be kind of cautious to pray for these individuals that are getting into this point, because 30 years is a long time.
That's a long time to be married. That is a long time to be married. And it takes really something for the wife to go and to be that high profile and for her to actually file the divorce papers. Yeah. I mean, she's got her own ministry now. She's got she's got a website up on the internet, and she has her own ministry. She's out there. I pray for her. I pray for him. You know, Benny Hinn is a secret Catholic. I think he's a Catholic. I really do.
Yeah.
I think that he's just an underling. There's more. There's more to the story. When Pope John Paul died, Benny Hinn actually had the nerve to come on television on his program and offer a video of the life of this man that he produced.
Wow.
Yes. He was selling it after he died. And I said, you know, all you have to do is look at that and know that there is something big time wrong with that so-called ministry.
Yeah.
That they're promoting the life of this man that is in a total antichrist system.
Yeah.
And you're taking money that has been donated to your ministry, and you're taking that money and producing a video of the life of this man?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you see Benny Hinn walk. He wears this uniform now, and it looks like a priest uniform.
He does, for real?
Yeah, it looks. It's got a little like a collar, and you know he doesn't want to come out full yet and dress like a priest.
Yeah.
But his costume that he wears now, it does resemble a costume.
Yeah, he waiting for the tribulation period.
Yeah.
maybe he's gonna be the false prophet.
I don't know, but I mean, it's very, very, it's total deception. It's total deception. And I always say, follow the money. Watch how they take up offerings. And that's how you can tell a true man. That is how you can really tell a true man or woman of God, is watch how they take up offerings.
Yeah.
And if they start taking up offerings in a funny way and promising you the world, if you give them money, and you have to please God, because you know God's looking down from heaven and he sees that $10 you have in your hand, and he sees your heart, and he sees how you're going to give that money, and then he's going to bless you. It's just ridiculous. I mean, what mother or father in this life makes their children give them a gift before they do something for them? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Indeed.
You know, the Bible says, if you being evil know how to do good things for your children, how much more will your Father in heaven do for you if you ask?
Yes,
like, why do we have to buy God off? It's like, what kind of a funny God are these people serving?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's a majestical New Age God.
Yeah. He's the Hindu god. You have to bring the flowers and the incense and the little gifts and everything. Otherwise, he's mad at you. It's ridiculous.
Or for the $50 veil for water, we're going to send y'all this trinket, which has the special anointing water, actually tap water. And we're going to give you also the cloth that goes with it. Plus, we're going to give you Miss Angela's newest song, the Corner of the Universe. And she's going to sing it right now. And come on now. Amen.
Oh, I know. You know, it was funny. I used to write little books and, you know, sell the books. And I have nothing against selling books. I mean, you know, if you're an author and you have a book, I mean, that's fine. But I would tell people toward the end there, I didn't even care about selling my books toward the end of the public side of my ministry. And I tell people, look, you don't really need my book because you got a Bible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just hope, let's revolt, you know, let's put a stop to this stuff. Let's stop it and just tell these people, please. I know. I hope that if I see Mike Murdoch or somebody coming to town, you know, God allows me to go. If I go in and I can say something, I can stand up and, you know, have a shout out, like, you lie or that's not true or,
yeah.
You know, I just hope some people do it.
Yeah.
And embarrass them.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It's kind of like those senators that get embarrassed when somebody shouts. Of course, they end up getting tasered. But hey, they brought enough embarrassment to them that actually works out pretty darn good. But God bless you so much. I should do a couple more minutes on the other side if you can. It's late over there, isn't it? Ain't you in Florida?
Yeah, it's late.
You got to go. So, yeah, I'm going to let
But well, it's okay. No, I mean, I'm not sleepy.
Okay.
But
well, let's go.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Yes, it is. Let's go for a few more minutes on the other side, let's continue on into probably a couple minutes, and then I'll do a theme song. We go off, but
okay.
Yeah, the times that we're living in is very important. I heard Alex Jones. We had a guy named Lindsey Williams. Predicting. Actually, he talks to his insider. And a lot of people out there don't believe in conspiracies. But if you ask yourself a question, who would be the main devices that God, Satan will work through that will carry on his agendas? And why, if you're awake and you see what's going on, why is his agendas being worked out almost in an orchestrated way with no flaws other than God's time clock? Because God is setting the time. So when this stuff, when the New World Order kicks in the rapture of the church, just before the New World Order totally kicks in, comes, for you people who believe in there's a rapture, which I do, it's going to come by surprise to most people. And I'm going to have a few people on next week, and we're going to talk about total, you know, we're going to go into the scriptures. And actually, I'll take Sunday, I'm going to probably just go ahead and do a Bible study. And I'm not even worried about who's going to listen and who's not going to listen, because pretty soon I'm going to start doing Bible studies. And if I lose people. I mean, it doesn't matter to me at all, because I want to get the word out there. I'm coming from the scriptures. Viewpoint.
Right.
Now, for all you Obamaites who think Obama's the Antichrist, you might want to think again. If you listen to my commercial, you'll notice that I say that the Antichrist, we won't know until the tribulation period begins. I don't believe he's nowhere in sight. As a matter of fact, I think he's someone who is probably maybe a college professor or a businessman or someone next in line for lineage. A monarchy. Now, you'll have a better chance of figuring out who the false prophet is than you will the Antichrist. So the false prophet might be one of the next popes. And trust me, they with accuracy know the first five popes, the next five popes who have a possibility of being that. But God told us to watch for his son. He didn't tell us to watch for the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But it's good to make you know that, hey, Obama's not the Antichrist. There's nothing to be scared of Obama. Bible says that the Antichrist should have a look more stout than his fellows, the king of fierce features. That disqualifies President Obama. Please do not think President Obama. If you have a sitting president and you're still here and you're calling him the Antichrist, you've probably been left behind. I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but you've probably been left behind.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, with the whole situation, like who is the president or the whole situation is how do we judge a person? We judge them by their fruit. We look at any person that believes in abortion, you know, nobody should support that person. I didn't understand, even with the last election, I didn't vote for anybody because I didn't agree. The whole thing that I look at is what is their stand on life? Do they,
yeah.
do they stand for life? And I didn't see anybody that did. You know, John McCain was for embryonic stem cell research. You know, he claimed to be pro-life. But yet he wants to experiment on babies.
Excuse me. Let me go off and I'll come back on. Come back on after this. God bless y'all and have a wonderful night. God bless.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yeah. So what was she saying?
I was saying that I was really amazed about this last election and how deceived people were, even Christian people, that they would vote for somebody that wasn't pro-life. You know, no matter what color they were, it was interesting. I thought the whole situation was very interesting because it shows something. It showed something that, I mean, should wake a lot of people up, is that we have to take a stand for righteousness. And I saw so many people, so many of my friends, vote and cast their vote in support for a person that had no respect for human life.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the people in the chat room a couple of days ago, the last show actually, and I was talking about the African American picked Obama, President Obama, and they thought he was the second coming.
Yeah.
Somebody had said to me in the chat room, well, Black African Americans had nobody to vote for. We're going to vote for McCain. I said, you know what? I said this. I said, first thing I said is, Democrats equal abortion, which I should have said Republicans equal abortion too, because
sure.
We still got abortion.
Great
at the age. And then I said, McCain equals Bush, which is 8 years. And then I had said, you know what I would do? And I wrote in the chat room, I say, either I throw my vote away or I'll vote for an alternative, which I did the last time I voted for Pataki, or you have Alan Keyes, you got all these other guys. And the thing is that I look at it like this, sister, though. I look at it like this. If you got enough guts, I'm talking about George Bush, if you got enough guts to go up against Saddam Hussein without Congress approval, then you should have enough guts to address abortion.
Yeah.
Where, especially in your last term, I mean, I don't understand these last term presidents. Now, Reagan, I can see he had Alzheimer's at that time. He probably was forget stuff, but
yeah.
As far as President Bush is concerned, who calls himself a Christian, I mean,
he's not a Christian.
Yeah, if I'm sitting,
that was
in the garage,
a big deception. That was a big deception. People bought hook, line, and sinker.
Exactly. If I'm sitting in the garage me and my wife, we got a washer and dryer in the garage. But if somebody, what if we open up the garage and some movers came in and says, "Oh, you got four cars." What? We don't have four cars. We only got two. No, the washer and dryer, them cars. They're in the garage, right? I mean, just because you call yourself a Christian don't mean you're a Christian. And the thing about the Christian faith, though, is you have to watch the overall fruit. You can't just...
Exactly.
You have to go... Like, if I went to Hawaii, I tell my wife this. I say, I can go to Hawaii right now and give me 6 months. She said, why 6 months? Why not a couple of days? Well, give me 6 months, and I can tell you in my unit all the Christians. not to 100%, but I can almost tell you all the Christians and give me 6 months. Say, why 6 months? Because I need that much time for someone to reveal themselves. And I'm not saying as far as we make mistakes, and I'm not saying that type of reveal. I'm saying more of a hypocritical reveal where you're critical of everything somebody else do. And that's the thing about this ministry and your ministry. We're not truly critical of everything everybody's doing. We're just pointing out like the scenes that you can't run away from the clips that I played today. You can't run away from.
No,
it's out there. Yeah, it's like if I play Billy Graham for y'all and he says, well, we can't get to heaven.
Yeah, we heard, I even heard him say he didn't know if he was going to heaven on Larry King.
Oh,
he said, I hope I go. He was saying I hope. I was like, you mean you don't know you're saved? I couldn't believe it. And yet, if you tell people that, they get mad at you because that's Billy Graham. You know,
yeah.
But he said it. He said it.
Yeah. And then the people at my church, they said maybe it has to do with Parkinson's disease. Well, here's the catch though. If you got any kind of disease, where should you be? Should you be preaching? I mean, should somebody
what are you doing on Larry King preaching the gospel? And then you're supposed to be telling people and you don't even know you're saved yourself? I'm like, yeah. Well, you know, like with George Bush, okay, when he first came out and he said he was a Christian and, oh, yeah, well, I ran right down and voted for him because, you know, I was stupid back then. And then, okay, he gets elected, and then he trots his wife out, okay?
Yeah.
It was about a week or two after he got elected, he trots her out. And she sits down for an interview with, I don't know who it was, CNN or somebody.
Uh-huh.
And they ask her, she's pro-life, and she said, no, I believe that, you know, it's a woman has a right to choose.
Yeah.
And I'm going, uh-oh. Man.
Wow.
And then it wasn't 2 or 3 weeks into his presidency when they had the decision on stem cell research. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm already upset about what the wife said. I think I've been deceived. And now I'm going to see what he does. So what does he do when he has the opportunity to say, no, we're not going to use embryonic stem cells. We're going to stop it because I'm pro-life. No, he lets them use it. He lets them use the cell lines that already exist for experimentation.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, this guy is not a Christian. This is not Christian.
Yeah.
And, oh, the Christians, they still believe he's a Christian, people.
Oh, yeah, there's people who live, like we were saying earlier, it says my people want to have it so. People want to live in a mirage of fakery, but the thing is when we're standing in those, and I say we because for the sake of the conversation, but when we're standing in these long lines to get our check or get a few bucks from the bank to feed your whole family, you got to be wondering, why didn't I stand up before and say something? I mean, you get a culture of, we hypnotized.
Yeah.
And if you look back at the Roman Empire, we're going the way of the Roman empires and many other empires that fell. And part of it was entertainment.
Yeah.
They didn't have TV back then. I mean, so what filled the gaps? I mean, heck, we're going to go down worse because we got 24-hour TV. We can wake up any time of night, and each of my kids got a TV in their room.
Yeah.
If you want to go more brain dead from the sleep that you already into, you just turn the TV, flip the switch. I mean, for real. I mean, that's how you get George. That's how George Bush says there are weapons of mass destruction. There are weapons of mass destruction. If you hear it often enough, you go, oh, yeah, there are weapons of mass destruction. Go get them, George Bush. And then the vodka and liquor and the beer prices of the sales go up. When you get a war in the Middle East, the sales go up big time. The pizza sales go up.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Not. The sales go up. It's like we entertain by the war. Go get them, George Bush. Smack them. Kill them. smash the kids. I mean, but if you don't find any weapons of mass destruction, and then you killed 1 million, forget the. I mean, and I'm not saying this meanly. I pray for the families that lost their 3,000 people. But if you do the math, 3,000 Americans, they're valuable people, and the 4,000, 5,000, who knows why, 5,000 soldiers are very valuable people. However, there's over probably 1 million Iraqis dead. So we went in there, smashed their country up, and rebuilt it again, and everybody singing Kumbaya, you would think so. But where's the justice? And I don't. And I can go many. This is not the show right now to talk about the Twin Towers, but and I'm gonna leave that alone. But come on, I mean,
people don't see it that way because they see those people as your enemy, but they're not our enemies. I mean, God loves them. He loves all people.
Yeah,
it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. This whole. I can't see where a Christian wouldn't be a conscientious objector. How could you murder people? It's just
Exactly. I was watching the Kennedys in Massachusetts about the Kennedy family.
Yeah.
And they were showing a part where their dad, Joe Singer, was just naive about Adolf Hitler. Now this I can see about the stance on Adolf Hitler, because it turned out to be correct. But as far as Saddam Hussein, I knew that. I knew that when I was an 18-year-old drinking tequila in the army, that Saddam Hussein had nothing.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't have inside intelligence. I just used common sense. And I'm the actual person who went over there and saw the weapons of the first war sitting there as we get ready for this war to take Saddam Hussein out. And the weapons that he had were American tanks. Have already blew them up. And I'm sitting there looking at these little tanks and stuff. And saying, now, those tanks he were going to use to smash America, the greatest army in the world? I said, well, now, that is what you call a bid for oil.
Well, the thing is, too, they were paying, I don't know, the Iraqis were paying, what, 30 cents a gallon? And we were paying $4.
Yes, indeed, exactly.
Yeah, it's one big mess. But, people are just, they'll believe anything. That's why Jesus called people sheep. He knew what he was talking about. He said sheep need a shepherd.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm grateful that God has voices out there, and like you said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
We're going to get the message out.
Yes.
Nobody's going to stop it. They can't
Amen.
Stop it. They had this one guy on YouTube. He makes videos about Creflo Dollar and different people exposing them. So Creflo Dollar trying to shut him down, using his attorneys and using trying to get him thrown off YouTube because he doesn't want anybody to talk about him and the false gospel he's preaching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Trying to shut him down.
Yeah, he's trying to. Gosh. Well, I would love to have you again, but this time I want to, we're going to probably end up doing a private show for the station that I'm on here, it's kind of weird because they're a Christian station 100%, but they kind of let people say what they're going to say as long as it's addressed the right way. But this right here, people need to hear, and until they say, "Well, you need to not do that," I'm not going to worry about it. But reason why is to do a private, no chat room, no calls, no nothing, is because it's only 30 minutes, so we have to get through real fast.
Yeah.
And we do a 2-hour show, and actually we won't have to do the bit of going off and coming back on and going off and coming back on, but I can take it down, clip it, and do it. And we'll give the gospel, and we, you know, give your website and stuff like that. But, I'd love to have you on, even on here, for another segment of 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, absolutely. Well, whenever.
We'll do it earlier in the day, probably on a Sunday or Saturday or whatever. We can pray about it and see. But I thank you so much, Susan, for coming by.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
God
bless you. Your program is wonderful, and it's a blessing. I enjoy it. I really do. And
thank you.
I thank God. It's like God's putting together a nice little group of people out there, Blog Talk Radio land, and, you know, it's like family. You know, you feel like family because we're like-minded.
Yes,
and
indeed.
It's good. It's great fellowship. It really is.
Yes, indeed. God bless you. I'll be praying for you throughout the week. And
Thank you, man.
You take care down there in Florida. Yes, because pretty soon it's going to get hot.
Yeah. it's going to get hot for about 6 months of intense heat. Yeah.
So God bless you.
Yeah, you too, Phil. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, we're going to go off here, but I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room for coming by. God be with y'all. I'll be praying for each person who comes in. We don't answer phones. I apologize for that individual who called in. If you listen to some of my past shows, you know why I don't answer the phone. I don't answer any calls. I'm going to wait until I start getting the Lord bless me, and I'll get into a position where I got a co-host and a screener who screens calls. I'm going to just start a show here in Spokane, Washington, and also in the North America. So I'll be on North America, and you won't hear too many stutters from me because I got a big mouth, believe it or not. I don't need to. I don't have to stutter. I just stutter a lot now because I'm not. I don't really have a true plan. So when I sit down, I'm letting the Lord lead me. So the Lord is now telling me to make a plan, and if you go outside that plan, then I'll carry you outside that plan of a show, and that makes a lot of sense. So I know it's God talking when He's saying, if you're going to have this person on your show, fine. If you're going to have a Bible study, fine. Make that Bible study just like you would be preaching. Type it out and talk about it, whatever you're going to talk about. Well, we're not here to glorify the Antichrist. We are going to toy with the idea of who is the Antichrist. We're going to look at that. We know doggone well it's not Obama. We know it's not Bill Clinton. We know it's not Juan Carlos. I actually thought it was Juan Carlos for a while. I think he'll look like Juan Carlos when Juan Carlos was younger. But the Antichrist will be a good-looking guy. I'm not saying Obama's not good-looking, but the Antichrist will have a fierce features. And keep that in mind. I don't know how old he's going to be. It could be 30, 33. He can copycat Jesus, or he can be 60. Satan loves to use the number 60. He can be 40. He can be, I don't know. I really don't give a darn. But as far as the ministry is concerned, we're going to talk about it. Because the Bible talks about the Assyrian. And everybody says, well, he's an American. You can't do too much with saying that he's an Assyrian. You can't do too much with that. I mean, what can you can turn? Oh, he's Obama. Well, how President Obama is supposed to be born either in the United States or Kenya. So how the heck? Oh, Hawaii, wherever you're supposed to say, he's not born, he's not an Assyrian. The Bible, Jesus, God told you who the Antichrist was. He's the king. He keeps giving us hints. He's the king, the willful king, the king of Prince Park Continent, the prince that shall come. So evidently, he's going to be a lineage or some monarch, okay, fitting the same bill of Queen Elizabeth's son, Prince Charles. The prince that shall come. Now, am I saying he's the Antichrist? No, because he's the king of fierce features. Prince Charles looks like a comic strip character. He does not have fierce features. The Antichrist will be an intimidating-looking person. Now, where is he coming from? Syria. or Iraq, northern Iraq, or Syria, or Lebanon. Now, keep in mind that Isaiah 17, Damascus is taken away from being a city. So could the Antichrist be returned? Could Syria return to the monarchy, or could Syria instead of being a democracy, turn into a monarch system? Yeah, sure. But you guys have a wonderful night. Next week, I have no idea who's going to be on the show next week. I have no idea. But I'm pretty sure I'll come up with somebody. I always do. But I think part of Sunday, I'm going to be talking about Bible prophecy, and we're going to do a series on Revelations. So God bless everybody out there, and y'all have a wonderful, wonderful night. And I'll be praying for y'all. And remember to read your word, read your Bible. Good night.